for the weekend on Saturday. Happy New Year to everyone. And I know there are a lot of people listening right now who will have received book tokens for a Christmas gift. A great present to get. I love getting books at Christmas, but I also love going in and picking my own as well. And we have got an author on the line you'll be very familiar with. Sam Blake, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trina. Thank you very much for having me.
Another book out. Again, it's mad to think that when you've brought out your very first one, that went in at number one, then the next one went in at number one, then the next one went in at number one. And, you know, if I was a betting woman, I'd be saying you're onto kind of a good thing with your latest book. Tell us all about the new book, Sam.
The new one is called Remember My Name, which I have to say slowly because it comes out as a bit of a blurb when you say it too quickly. So it's Remember My Name. And it is set in Dorky and Glencanal Quay in Dublin and down on the beach in Wexford. But basically, it's about a woman who overhears a phone conversation. Her husband rings her and he doesn't hang up properly. I think it's happened to us all at some stage, where he's either been pocket dialed or whatever. And instead of her hanging up, when she realises he hasn't hung up, she listens into the telephone call and she hears him talking to another woman. And really, it spirals from there and ends up in murder.
We don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot to the phone call, and she finds out quite a bit.
So they do. It's lots of twists and turns. And Lawrence, her husband, runs a really big online retail company. And I was thinking about the phone call because somebody had called me, and you know how it doesn't hang up. And I started thinking about, you know, what could you listen to, what could you hear in that time that really might not be so good. And then I was talking to my agent about how some of the global retailers have so much information about us, you know, some of the ones that sell like everything. And if you went through somebody's buying history, I mean, obviously there might be cat food and books and, you know, all sorts of things, but there could be all sorts of other things as well. Yeah. I was very interested in what somebody would do with that information if it was the wrong sort of information. So yeah, he works for a very big online company, he runs it, and basically, yeah, there's a lot of twists and turns and a lot of information comes out that he really doesn't want his wife to find out about.
I wonder, were you inspired by lockdown, the amount of parcels that were going to people's houses as well, thinking about people's online shopping habits and that as well? I never thought of that before.
Well, anything. I mean, that's it. I mean, some of these retailers sell absolutely anything. There's one particular one I'm thinking, I'm not going to use their name. And it's really a case of, you know, if you, most of us are very normal and have very boring shopping habits, but if you weren't that person and you had sort of intriguing shopping habits, or you were buying things for people who perhaps you didn't want other people to know about, then it could be quite interesting if somebody looked at your shopping history. Yeah, and somebody uses that information to try and blackmail some people. I think we're allowed to say that without it being a spoiler.
My shopping history would be so boring. Apples, milk, bread.
That's mine too.
So what draws you to crime then? Because I know you were shortlisted for the crime fiction book of the year there in, was it October or November time? You were actually up against my sister-in-law, Andrea Mara, was up for... she's married to my brother.
I blurbed that book. It's my name's on the front. I absolutely loved it.
The twists
are brilliant.
There's a little plug.
Exactly. Well, absolutely. No, it's fantastic. It was All Her Fault by Andrea Mara. Can't recommend it highly enough, absolutely. It's twisty, and that's what I love in a book. I love something that's unexpected, that tests me, where perhaps I learn something new. And I really like a good puzzle, so I like a book that makes me think. And that's hopefully the books that I try and write.
So you write crime, but you're obviously interested in reading other crime fiction as well, are you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I think you only learn as a writer by reading other people. So yeah, I read widely, lots and lots of different things. Read some great books recently, actually. I've just read, actually, Brian McGilloway's new book, which is coming out in March, which is called The Empty Room, and I was completely blown away. Amazing book, fantastic.
Okay. How do you get the time, though? Because between kind of writing yourself, you see, I always say this, how do you get the time? But we all have like an hour or 2 hours in the evening to watch Netflix. So there is time there if you want to read, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, to read and to write. I think you're always trying to fit things in sort of around the edges of life. And I think if you really want to do something, then you find the time. So for me, writing is my hobby. Reading is my hobby. I tend to read right before I go to bed. I can't write in bed. So I have a couple of, you know, an hour or whatever before I go to sleep. And that's my reading, my sort of sacrosanct reading time. And yeah, with some books, you just have to read the whole time and sit down and devote.
I know, you can't put them down sometimes. When it came to you, like, releasing your debut novel, was the plan always to become a writer, or what kind of career? Did you have a career before that?
Yeah, no, I worked in marketing and event management before that. And I worked in retail as well. I used to work for Voca when I first came to Ireland. But I had this idea, and I think I always felt that I would write at some point in my life, but I didn't really, it wasn't really a formal thing. It was just something I thought I would always do. And then when my husband went sailing across the Atlantic for 8 weeks in, I think, 1999, and it was November and it was dark, and I'd been here a few years, but I didn't know, like, loads of people. So I didn't have this hectic social life, and I was at home and I had an idea for a book, and I literally started writing it. Wrote it longhand, went into the office at the evenings and weekends to write, type it up on the computer. The bug really bit. I think when you get into writing and you start something and you look at the clock and it's 12 o'clock and then you look at the clock again and it's 4 o'clock, it literally takes you away into this amazing world. Yeah. And it becomes addictive, really.
Yeah, when you feel it's not an effort to actually sit down and do it because you enjoyed so much, you know you're onto a good thing.
That's it, absolutely. I think that gets you really in the zone. And I mean, it can be an effort, it can be the whole work. Sometimes you sit down and, like, the words just don't come. But when you do get that moment when it all flows and the story's happening, and it happens to everybody at some point, then it's just wonderful. It's amazing. It's literally completely addictive. So yeah, you just have to keep going. So yeah, I just kept writing. I mean, that first book was dire. I sent it out everywhere. It was rejected left, right and centre. But I learned then that I had to learn how to write. So, you know, it was a few books later that Little Bones came out, which was my debut book.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it stood me in good stead. I think I'd written, that was the fifth book. And as you say, it went straight to number one. So yeah. It's the work, you have to put the work in, then you get back.
Yeah. Did you find yourself at the time going around all the bookshops just to kind of see your book there on the shelf and have that proud moment?
It was amazing. It's still amazing when you go into bookshops and see books on the shelf, you know, especially when usually I'm a year behind. So I've just finished the book that's coming out in 2023. And obviously, remember, my name's just coming out now. So to see it, it's lovely because you've sort of forgotten, not exactly forgotten what it's about, but you've moved on a bit. And then to see it come through, it's like having, you know, your child in first school uniform. It's just gorgeous. Yeah. No, lovely. You never get over that.
I find myself going around bookshops, and whenever I see my sister-in-law's book, I'll take a picture and send it to her. I don't know why.
Oh, we love that.
And she's like,
no.
Yeah, I'm aware. That. I'm aware that they're stocking it.
No,
but
it's just this moment,
you know, when you see the name, you're like, oh, I know her.
Yeah, I know that person. Yeah, and I mean, so much work goes into the book. Yeah, it's really a year's work from beginning to end between the writing of the book. I write really fast, so sometimes I can do, once I know what I'm writing about and I've got the idea and everything, I'll write the first draft in about 3 months. So still after that, then obviously there's revisions and edits that go on. That maybe a book might be read, you might have been over it like 4, 5, 6 times by the time it even gets to the editor. There's huge work in it. So getting that, having that moment and somebody sending you a picture is just wonderful. I mean, I remember seeing the book, The Little Bones, in fact, actually the first time I saw it on a shelf was in the gutter bookshop in Temple Bar, and Bob sent me a photograph of it, and I cried because it was just like, it was so amazing after all that time to actually get it there on the shelf.
Yeah, in the gutter bookshop. Bob's on a lot actually on the show with us as well. Yeah, he's great. He's great for supporting kind of local authors as well, isn't he?
He's incredible. Yeah, I organise lots of events too, and he always does a bookshop, slogs out with all the books through the bookshop. He's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
His shop in the gutter in Dorky is beautiful too. I
yes,
love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everything in there.
And Sam Blake is not your real name. This is the name you use as an author. Is there a reason for this?
Yeah, because this confuses everybody. Yeah, because my real name is Vanessa Fox O'Loughlin, which is very long, and would be a right squash on the cover, to say the least. And there's two reasons, actually, for the name change. The first one is that there is a theory, which has been proven now with data, that a lot of men don't buy crime novels written by women. And I always think it sounds completely insane. But then whenever you do an event or you're talking to somebody, they'll go, actually, no, that's right, my so-and-so, or I don't, or, you know. And so the idea of having the androgynous first name is just to try and get past that first hurdle.
Wow.
But the other thing is that O'Loughlin is lovely in this country and it works really well, but it's a very tricky one for people in the UK. And whenever I'm being introduced in the UK, they get to the O and then they sort of stumble and turn and look at me and look for the rest. because they don't know how the GH works at all. So it's trying to come up with a name that's memorable, that hopefully if people hear Sam Blake, me talking to you today, that they're actually going to go, oh, actually, I can remember that name.
Brilliant. I never thought of that. Men will be put off by, yeah, I understand. Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it? So Sam
it's
Blake,
nuts,
yeah, you
it?
Wouldn't know whether it's a man or a woman.
That's the idea.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, remember my name. Remember that name. Sam Blake. Remember my name is the name of the book. And if you happen to have a book token from Christmas, perfect. Go out and treat yourself and have a sit down. Nobody's going to be going out in January anyway. Well, nobody's going to be going out anyway because of
COVID.
Well,
I know. You need a good book. You need a good twisty thriller to keep you in your chair. That's what you need.
Listen, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking the time today. And I can't wait to get stuck into the book. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Tina.
See you now. Bye. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.